The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
And now, The Trumpet Daily with Stephen Flurry.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome back to the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. We are off and running on this abbreviated week, at least for Americans. It's the Thanksgiving holiday coming up on Thursday, but of course, a lot still happening in the news, so we'll do our best to keep you well informed. It's a nice chilly day here at Edstone, by the way, speaking of the Thanksgiving break. And we have, let's see, last night they would have had the Thanksgiving ball in Edmond, and then Edstone, we switched it to Monday night a couple years ago. So we have our Thanksgiving ball this evening. So lots of fun and good food at this time of year. I'll start with a headline this is not from The Onion. This is not from the Babylon Bee. This comes from The Federalist. It says, New York Democratic Governor Andrew Cuomo will receive an International Emmy Award for using television to communicate with residents during the coronavirus pandemic, the group announced Friday. So all of those press conferences, Andrew Cuomo coming out day in, day out, and he's going to, not Donald Trump, he had some daily press conferences too, but it was Andrew Cuomo, the state that has the most coronavirus deaths in the United States. And he wins an award. Hollywood is about to award him with an Emmy. This is something that the media and Hollywood, they're quite good at. They did it with Joe Biden just a couple weeks ago when they anointed him president-elect of the United States, and the litigation surrounding that continues. The media today are celebrating. On Saturday, a federal judge in Pennsylvania dismissed the Trump campaign's lawsuit against the Pennsylvania Secretary of State. And then last night, the Trump campaign cut ties with Sidney Powell, and yet we'll read her statement in just a bit. It may be more of a clarification. In any event, they came out with the announcement. They said that she's not representing the Trump campaign or President Trump. So what is going on with that? Well, the media, of course, as I say, they were super quick to celebrate, saying that what she was out there saying on Newsmax with Glenn Beck, Lou Dobbs, whoever, that it's even too crazy for Donald Trump to accept. So he had to cut ties with her. That's what we've been hearing. And I would just say this, and we're going to spend a little bit more time on it later, but just one thought before we switch back to Pennsylvania. If the Trump campaign is so desperate and there's no options basically left, it seems strange that they would just cut ties with her if they didn't feel pretty good about their position as it is, because she was out there. Obviously, she was getting some attention. And if this is a campaign that has no hope, like the media keeps saying, I think it was Senator Toomey yesterday who said there's no more legal options, which was totally untrue. But if there's no more options, it seems strange that they would come out with this clarification. In any event, there's all kinds of Republicans from the establishment that are saying, that's it, he's had his day in court, he's got to throw in the towel. This was Chris Christie yesterday on one of the news shows, Clip 6.
The president has had an opportunity to access the courts. And I said to you, you know, George, starting at 2:30 a.m. on Wednesday morning, if you've got the evidence of fraud presented. And what's happened here is, quite frankly, the conduct of the president's legal team has been a national embarrassment. Sidney Powell accusing Governor Brian Kemp of a crime on television, yet being unwilling to go on TV and defend and lay out the evidence that she supposedly has. This is outrageous conduct by any lawyer.
That's Chris Christie. He's a Republican. And he's really upset, as were a lot of the commentators, that Sidney Powell would accuse the governor of Georgia of a potential crime. They cannot imagine an attorney or a commentator accusing a public official of a crime. It's like they've never seen this before. This is all that we've seen for 4 years. For 4 years, crimes discussed openly and no evidence. Donald Trump was, of course, the perpetrator in every case or someone connected to him. But now, I mean, they're deeply offended that she would suggest that there's some government officials that might be on the take, that might be receiving perks from Dominion or the Chinese Communist Party. This is nonsense. This is conspiracy. These are nut jobs out there. So they would have us believe. And so they're there, and he's not alone. Chris Christie's with quite a few others that are saying, throw in the towel, give up. Even conservative sites like PJ Media, they're concluding that it's all over. You had this one ruling by this Obama appointee in Pennsylvania, and then that's it. That's it. It's over and done with. Byron York yesterday, he's another one that's fairly conservative, tweeted yesterday that the litigation is winding down. Andy McCarthy, we quote him quite a lot on this program. He's pretty pessimistic about the president's chances. He's saying things indicating it's about over. Georgia, they certified their election on Friday. And just after doing that, Governor Kemp, speaking of the governor, he called for a signature audit of votes, just certain batches to be audited. And, of course, this comes, you know, it's a little too late for this now. Too little too late. And so a lot of people are seeing this, or some, I should say, they're seeing this as just kind of a token nod in the direction of the president. But where was he days ago? Where was he a week ago? He's been pretty quiet. Jordan Sekulow, he's one of the Trump campaign's lawyers. He said that the Georgia lawsuit they're about to file is going to be shocking. So as I've said the last few days, the litigation is just starting. It's just beginning. Quoting Sekulow, he's also the son of Jay Sekulow. We've played some clips from him before. But the son, also an attorney, he said, I can't tell you right now, but what's coming in Georgia will be shocking. When we file this in federal court Monday or Tuesday, so that's early this week, it's nothing that we have talked about before. It's not what you heard in the press conference Thursday either. This is something completely separate. So more surprises. And again, the skeptic would say, well, that's what we've been hearing from Sidney Powell. But when are we actually going to get to the hard evidence? There's plenty of circumstantial evidence. But when will we see the hard evidence? Well, perhaps it's coming soon. We'll see. The FEC chairman, I might have mentioned this Friday, but he came out and said, there's legitimate accusations of election fraud. And over at the Epoch Times, Alan Dershowitz, he said that the president still has several constitutional paths to victory. And he lays it out in particular with Pennsylvania. And yet you have all of these Republicans, all of these weak Republicans who want to surrender, who want to compromise. I mentioned Pat Toomey. President Trump has exhausted all plausible legal options to challenge the result of the presidential race in Pennsylvania. A couple of the guys emailed me yesterday to say that that sounds a lot like what Ralph Helge was saying in 2002. Well, the PCG, they've exhausted all legal remedies. They can't do anything else. Well, then why do they end up giving us all the literature? Because there were other options. And just like with now, I mean, yeah, it was an uphill battle back in 2002. But all of these people, Lisa Murkowski, she's the Republican from Alaska. It's time to begin the full and formal transition process. It's time to throw in the towel. It's time to give up. And then you listen to the Trump campaign, their take, particularly on Judge Braun's decision in Pennsylvania. And they think, well, get it out of his court and move it up to the appellate level. And then after that, the Supremes. Let's see what the Supreme Court has to say. You think that makes the radical left just a little bit nervous? You break down that case in Pennsylvania. Basically, they were going at it from two prongs, the Equal Protection Clause. The Bush versus Gore case back in 2000 established that you can't treat different parts of the state differently when it comes to counting votes. There has to be a fair standard across the board. There has to be one standard across the board. And what the Trump campaign presented was that, well, in certain Democrats' counties, you had the Secretary of State urging people to get out there and bring those Democrat voters back to cure the ballots that had problems. And they didn't give that same direction to the Republican-leaning counties. And so this judge basically said that the Trump team failed that their purported injury of vote denial is adequately addressed by invalidating the vote of others. In other words, if Republican votes were canceled, well, you can't cancel Democrat votes to fix it. That was this judge's reasoning. And there may be other judges that have very different opinions. And then there was the argument over the poll watchers. The fact that when they were led into the counting facilities, they were pushed back into a corner. They couldn't get up close and observe. They were kept away from the process that they were there to monitor. And so here again, this judge said that, well, there's nothing wrong with that because, as I understand it, the Democrats also were kept away from the counting. So everything's good, right? No observation from Democrat or Republican. And let's just move on. Nothing to see here. Never mind what those counters were doing. Never mind the bundles that they were receiving in the deep of night. This is from the opinion, or rather the ruling. It says none of these allegations or the others in this section claim that the Trump campaign's watchers were treated differently than the Biden campaign's watchers, simply alleging that poll watchers did not have access or were denied access to some areas does not plausibly plead unequal treatment. Without actually alleging that one group was treated differently than the other, plaintiff's first argument falls flat. So here again, without observers, what is easy to get away with? Well, cheating, of course. You take away any oversight, you take away, I mean, what about, that's to say that all of these counters are completely objective, nonpartisans? In Philadelphia, in Detroit, you know, in Milwaukee, it shows how difficult this process is when you remove a godly standard. And the more you look, and not to say that that was even there, but this system, I mean, there's just so many avenues in which it could be corrupted, in which it could be tampered with. And we'll talk more about this as we go. But getting back to Sidney Powell and the statement, this is from Rudy Giuliani or his team last night. I think Jenna Ellis is the one who sent it out. But I'll just quote it directly. It says, Sidney Powell is practicing law on her own. She is not a member of the Trump legal team. She's also not a lawyer for the president in his personal capacity. So it was a short statement, and Powell had a response to it a few hours later, which we'll look at in a moment. But Twitter, through this decision, Twitter suspended Sidney Powell for 12 hours. They decided that, well, we've got to suspend her account, which made me think of this news item from just a day or two ago. A listener sent me this. It's from Yahoo News. It says, Google, Facebook, and Twitter threaten to leave Pakistan over censorship law. They don't like it, you see, when it's the other way around. Global internet companies, Facebook, Google, and Twitter, and others have banded together and threatened to leave Pakistan after the South Asian nation granted blanket powers to local regulators to censor digital content. So these guys, Jack Dorsey and all of their 23-year-old monitors, they can observe, they can monitor for sure. And it's only certain ones. You know, there was a clip, by the way, of Judge Jeanine Pirro on Fox News from Saturday night. She said that the night after the election or somewhere close to the election, she sent out a tweet basically talking about the evidence of fraud and how that tweet was taken down. And then she called a friend and said, look, can you type this same thing and send it out? And she sent it out, and there was no problem. The tweet stayed up. Now, it was a person that had a much smaller following on Twitter. But Jeanine's point was that they are targeting certain commentators, conservative commentators. Yeah, it's in their power to do this. And we've had all these hearings with Zuckerberg and Dorsey and so on, and they're there explaining the process and how that they've got to stop the spread of misinformation. And here's Pakistan basically giving its regulators, its state regulators, the authority to censor certain things that it doesn't like. And oh, I mean to tell you, Facebook and Twitter, they don't like that at all. Who is this government to censor us? The mighty, mighty social media giants. This is the world that we live in today. So Sidney Powell, this tweet goes out. She's on her own, basically. And then listen to Sidney Powell's response. This is pretty amazing to me. It says, I agree with the campaign statement that I am not part of the campaign's legal team. I never signed a retainer agreement or sent the president or the campaign a bill for my expenses or fees. She says, my intent has always been to expose all the fraud I could find and to let the chips fall where they may, whether it be upon Republicans or Democrats. And she's making, by the way, she's making a lot of Republicans pretty nervous and upset and angry, because she feels like there's problems on both sides of the aisle. She feels like the lobbyists are getting to both sides of the aisle. And look, if you just delve a little bit into the Hunter Biden laptop story, you know this is going on all over the world. Ukraine, China, Russia. These politicians, they go to Washington with all of these altruistic aims, and then they get there. And I mean to tell you, a lot of them get corrupted by the money, by the big donors, by the big lobbyists. That's why you have so many lobbyists in Washington, D.C. Tens of thousands of them, hundreds of thousands. And they're there to get favors from politicians who then get favors in return. That's just the Washington way. It's a deep swamp, like President Trump was saying back in 2016. She says, the evidence I'm compiling is overwhelming that this software tool was used to shift millions of votes from President Trump and other Republican candidates to Biden and other Democrat candidates. She says, we are proceeding to prepare our lawsuit and plan to file it this week. It will be epic. So she doesn't seem to be discouraged by the Trump campaign stressing that, look, we've never paid her. She isn't on our team. And she's out there like Lynn Wood. She's on her own. Lynn Wood's got a case going in Georgia. He's appealing it up to the appellate level. I'm not sure where Sidney Powell's going to be filing her cases. But she says she's gathering the evidence. She says it's going to be epic. She told Newsmax Saturday night, it's biblical. It's huge. It says here, we will not allow this great republic to be stolen by communists from without or within, or from without and within, or our votes altered or manipulated by foreign actors in Hong Kong, Iran, Venezuela, or Serbia, for example, who have neither regard for human life nor the people who are the engine of this exceptional country. She says, finally, we the people elected Donald Trump and other Republican candidates to restore the vision of America as a place of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Now, all of the commentators, again, they're taking this to mean that she is so far off, she's so wacky, so crazy, that even Donald Trump, who's also crazy, they say, but even Donald Trump has to distance himself from her. You read the tweet and you read her statement, and it certainly seems like the media are blowing this a little bit out of proportion. We'll see how her cases go. And there was a, I think this was at Right Scoop, an article that talked about some of her, and she was sort of the, you know, voter machines, the software. And then you had Rudy Giuliani that was focused more on, you know, the ballot stuffing, the poll watchers, the, you know, equal protection clause, that sort of thing. So they definitely had different tacks going, and maybe it was. Maybe the Trump campaign feels so good about its constitutional rights here and about the supreme law of the land and about the fraud that's been exposed by all these affidavits, these eyewitnesses that are prepared to testify in court, that they didn't want Sidney Powell's claims to overshadow that. That may be part of it, because she was getting out there. And there's lots of people, even if there's some like Fox News and others that are trying to shun her, there's lots of people listening to her online. Perhaps it was overshadowing some of the other cases, like the one in Pennsylvania that's now going to be kicked up to the appellate level. But it is, when you look at the more Sam and all the rest of us, Richard, the more you read about these companies, these international companies, going back 10, 15 years, I mean, these are some, there are red flags all over the place. All over the place. Now, Sidney Powell was on TV with Glenn Beck, I think it was maybe Friday. She had the Newsmax interview on Saturday night. And American Thinker summarized some of her latest statements and claims. For one, Dominion's just essentially gone into hiding. They've even emptied out offices in Toronto because they were close to where George Soros was at, or one of his businesses was at. Her point is, where are they? Now Dominion's argument is that, well, we're doing it for safety. I mean, we're coming under threat. But where are the executives? I know they had the spokesman out there yesterday, the never-Trumper, the Republican. They had to go find the Republican spokesman, the Republican lawyer, to speak for the company. But where are the executives answering these claims? Or where are the libel suits? You don't see them. She said in the interview on Friday, you might look at the fact that both the Dominion offices have shut down and moved all of a sudden in Toronto, where they shared office space with the Soros entity. This was Sidney Powell on Friday evening. And also in Denver, all of a sudden, they just shuttered and moved. Their employees have been taking their name off LinkedIn and eliminating any affiliation with their company. There are over 100 of those that have happened. So her question is, why is this happening? Where are they? Why aren't they putting forward, besides the statement that's on their website, where is the vigorous defense? Well, they brought out the spokesman yesterday, Michael Steele. Incredibly, that's what his name is. That's no joke. Michael Steele. You've got Lord Moloch, and then you've got Dominion. And now you've got Michael Steele, really? Another Steele? This is the man representing the company. And Fox News was the one to put him on. And oh, he got a wonderfully smooth and easy interview, a real softball interview from Fox News. I don't even know the name of this reporter, but it was yesterday, middle of the day. And here is the Dominion representative, clip one.
Did a Dominion machine change one vote from Biden to Trump or from Trump to Biden?
No, this is a nonpartisan American company. It is not physically possible for our machines to switch votes from one candidate to the other. Let's be very clear. Our election system is run by local elected officials and nonpartisan poll watchers. We simply provide a tool to count the ballots and to print and count ballots. There is no way such a massive fraud could have taken place, and there are no connections between our company and Venezuela, Germany, Barcelona, Kathmandu, whatever the latest conspiracy theory is.
Okay, now you take the latest Trump standard, or the standard they use on anyone speaking for the Trump campaign. Did a Dominion machine change one vote? And what was his response? No. To which I would ask, hey, where's your evidence? Where's your evidence that that didn't happen? Well, you know about it happening in Michigan. Those votes that were switched. That's just one example. But you notice all the way through this 8, 9, 10 minute interview, he's just saying, no, didn't happen. No, couldn't happen. No, it's crazy. It's preposterous. Well, Sidney Powell says it did happen. So let's see how it plays out in court, she would say. He says it's a nonpartisan American company. The president says this is a radical left-wing company. And you look at the associations, you connect the dots. To Smartmatic, to Sequoia, to Venezuela. Here's another clip from yesterday, clip two.
We are a nonpartisan American company. We have no connections with Venezuela whatsoever. Nothing that they're saying is remotely true.
Are you foreign funded?
No, we're funded by American capitalists.
He had to think long and hard on that one. Are you foreign funded? What, there's nothing. There's no connections to Venezuela, nothing like that. Are you foreign funded? Well, no, it's American capitalists. So he says it, and that's fact, I guess. He's supplied the evidence, right? Where is the evidence? The evidence suggests otherwise. We'll get into that more as we go. Here's clip three.
Would those election officials try to steal the election for Donald Trump or for Joe Biden?
I can't imagine that someone would want to be in a position of authority in our election system, in our democracy, just to subvert it. I think these are public-spirited people. I think these are patriots, and they're doing their job to the best of their ability to make sure we get accurate, transparent results.
He can't imagine. He can't. What a question. Would those election officials try to steal the election? And what does he say? Oh, no, I just can't imagine anyone would do that. I can't imagine a world in which people would cheat. These people are patriots. Every single one of them that's counting votes, they're patriots. Oh, yes, these are public-spirited people. They're just doing their job. Everything's accurate. Everything's transparent. And then you have this right at the tail end of the interview. This is my all-time favorite. Here's the Fox reporter, and he says this, clip four.
Some facts about Dominion voting systems from Michael Steele, a spokesman for the company.
Right, he talks for 8 minutes to Michael Steele, and then he says, some facts. There's your evidence. Everything about Sidney Powell, everything she said has been so thoroughly debunked. We've had one... You know, the Dominion spokespeople were called before the Pennsylvania legislature Friday to where they could testify under oath. And guess what happened right at the last? They didn't go. They didn't want to testify under oath. They've gone missing, just like the employees in Denver and Toronto, just like the employees on LinkedIn. They're gone. They're gone. You don't see them. You just have Mr. Steele, the unfortunately named Michael Steele. He's out there. And then the Fox reporter, there's the facts. There are the facts. And that's it. That's all that we've heard from Dominion. Has Lord Moloch been out? We've got some clips from him here in just a second, but they're not from recently. They're from 2015. So Sidney Powell is on the shows this weekend talking about Dominion employees going missing. She reiterates the fact that the system was built from the beginning in order to move votes around. And she said, I think it was to Glenn Beck, that this is a worldwide operation. This is fraud that involves a lot of different countries. Now, we didn't get to a story on Friday. We had it in the news bundle Friday from John Zemirak. He wrote an article saying, I know Sidney Powell. She is telling the truth. I won't get into a lot of quotes here, but basically she refers to, or rather he refers to, this woman's career and the book that she wrote back in 2013, I think it was, Licensed to Lie. And she exposed a lot of corruption, even in the FBI. She exposed a lot of corruption. She couldn't get a publisher to go with it, so she self-published this book. And he makes the point that basically she set aside her lucrative law practice to write this book in order to expose this evil. Well, maybe I can just give you one snippet from it. She self-publishes it, he says, and hire a public relations firm to get it out to people when media ignored it. That book, Licensed to Lie, is absolutely chilling. It shows innocent Americans, even a U.S. senator such as Ted Stevens of Alaska, unable to defend themselves against prosecutors with vendettas. It recounts how innocent companies like accounting firm Arthur Anderson can be broken by biased and dishonest federal prosecutors. I mean, they ruined Arthur Anderson, the entire company, tens of thousands of employees, because of this vendetta. Prosecutors with vendettas. They destroyed that company. We've gone through some of that history before. It says, a real-life legal horror story. The book was too disturbing for me to read it through to the end. I read it a few years ago. It is disturbing to think that some of these things could go on in the United States, in America's government. Well, this man's assessment is that he doesn't have the evidence before him, but the fact that Sidney Powell claims that she does is enough to convince him. And he also says that she's basically put her entire profession, her professional life, her reputation on the line for this. So she really believes. Now, I suppose Michael Steele really believes in the company that he's representing. But so far as what you've heard from Sidney Powell and what you just heard there from Michael Steele, where's his evidence? Where is his evidence that there was no wrongdoing, that there was no corruption, that there was no stealing, that there was no cheating? You would think that they'd be putting their servers forward. You would think that they'd be going on, a relentless campaign to get the truth out, as it is. They operate in the shadows. They've evacuated their office space. And here you have this army of establishment Republicans insisting that Donald Trump just surrender. Surrender without a fight. Oh, one judge, Judge Braun, he's supposedly a Republican. If he can't get Judge Braun on his side, well, he's going to send it up to the Supreme Court and lose 9-0. There's a lot of Republicans that would love to see the end of Donald Trump's career as president. They're part of the establishment. They're part of the problem. My father wrote in, Donald Trump's going to win this election. This is from a couple weeks ago. He said, powerful tech companies and corporations are willing to spend billions of dollars to get what they want. They're not concerned about the will of the people. One billionaire spent $100 million in Florida to beat Donald Trump. $100 million! We're talking about billions of dollars to try to carry out their objectives politically. And you mean to tell me there's not one There is not one that would cheat. There is not one that would do something dishonest. Not one vote switched over, says Michael Steele. What about all the people counting? I think they're patriots. I think they're doing their job to the best of their ability. I can't imagine that someone would want to be in a position of authority in an election system or democracy to subvert it. I just can't imagine trying to subvert the American democracy. Well, like I said earlier, that's all that we've seen for the past 5 years. People in positions of authority trying to destroy their political enemies. We have so many examples of it. My father says, after all, none of them ever seem to get punished. Well, he discusses here why it just continues to happen, this corruption. They don't get punished. They're committing all these treasonous acts, and they don't get punished for it. He says further on, after a while, if you repeatedly let it go, they come to think they can do anything and get away with it. And they're just about right. But maybe God has something in store for them that they don't know about. He says, it's amazing to me how few Republicans are backing President Trump. Those who don't are truly ignorant of what is happening in this nation. It's not that President Trump's going to solve all the problems for America. There is, though, the prophecy, temporarily saving America by the hand of Jeroboam. But these Republicans that are insisting, that are now, these are the ones that the networks want out front and center. They want to put them on the Sunday shows. If we could just get more Republicans to apply pressure, maybe he'll cave in. Maybe he'll stop with these lawsuits. Maybe he'll stop fighting. If we can just divide the Republican Party, this is their strategy. Because they want him gone. They don't want this election investigated. They don't want Dominion investigated. They don't want Smartmatic looked into. They don't want us to see the connections between Lord Moloch and George Soros and Venezuela. They don't want us to see the connections between Smartmatic and Dominion. Smartmatic announced that there are no connections. They're competitors, and that is a lie. That's a lie. And when we come back, we'll look more at over the past several years of these companies, if we have enough time, that is. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. If you'd like to email the program, you can send comments to td@kpcg.fm. We'll be right back.
This is KPCG-FM, and this is the Trumpet Daily.
Do you believe the United States of America has been mainly a positive force in the world for most of its history? Do you believe that America was at one time a great nation? The United States of America was founded on many biblical principles that were incorporated into the Constitution. This lent to its success and positive influence in the world. But the America of then is not the America of today. To anyone examining the current state of America, this should be alarming. It has been a great nation in time past and is experiencing a temporary resurgence in these end times, but it will only be exactly that, temporary. Our free booklet, Great Again, will explain America's status. It will prove that God has been intimately involved in the rise and resurgence of America under President Donald Trump. It will also explain why God is saving America temporarily, how he was doing it, and what is yet to come in America. There is a spiritual dimension to America's rise and decline as a superpower. This free booklet will explain this dimension and how God will soon make America truly great again. Request your free copy of our book, Great Again, at our website, thetrumpet.com.
Yeah. from the Philadelphia Church of God campus in Edstone, England. This is the Trumpet Daily Program with Stephen Flurry.
You look back at these massive voting equipment and software companies over the past 20 years where they've gained quite a lot of power, and their technology, their equipment spreading over the earth. There have been quite a few stories we've dug up about the technical glitches that they had in Venezuela, for example. We've talked about that before. There's a story about a vote in New Brunswick, Canada, in 2014, and the delays that took place in an election there. The Philippines in 2010. And then you have all of the problems from this past election here in the United States. According to Dominion's website, it says here, Dominion is not and has never been owned by Smartmatic. Dominion is an entirely separate company and a fierce competitor to Smartmatic. So as soon as these accusations came out, and again, this was led primarily by Sidney Powell, you had statements, not from the executives, but just statements on their website, strong denials. Look, we've had a clean record here. I mean, our record speaks for itself. And oh, by the way, we have nothing to do with Smartmatic. And then Smartmatic says, we have nothing to do with Dominion. You see the strongly worded statement from Dominion. Came out, as I say, right away. Over at Smartmatic, you've got, again, Lord Mullick Brown, who's been with them for a number of years. And this was their statement recently. It says, Smartmatic has never owned any shares or had any financial stake in Dominion voting systems. Smartmatic has never provided Dominion voting systems with any software, hardware, or other technology. Listen to this again. Smartmatic has never provided Dominion voting systems with any software, hardware, or other technology. The two companies are competitors in the marketplace. Almost the same language. Dominion says fierce competitors. And then here's Smartmatic. Oh, we're competitors. Smartmatic, it continues, does not have any ties to any governments or political parties in any country. It has never been owned, funded, or backed by any government. Just plain and simple. Emphatic. An emphatic statement. Now, listen to this clip from 2015. This is Lord Mullick Brown. He's in the Philippines, okay? And he's on a Philippines news show. And this, after some of the problems that they had with Smartmatic and its technology in 2010... this reporter asked him, look, you know, why should we even be using your equipment given the problems that we've had in the past? And then listen closely, because you're going to learn about a very interesting connection between Smartmatic and Dominion, one that has been covered up since. It's just gone right down the memory hole. Here's the exchange between this reporter and the Smartmatic chairman, Lord Mullick Brown, from 2015, clip 5.
The question on people's minds, why is Smartmatic even still here in the Philippines? After reports that it had violated provisions of the election automated law, number one, for example, that it was never supposed to be allowed to bid in the 2010 elections because it did not actually own the software. Dominion voting systems owned the software. Plus the difficulty which Smartmatic had to put the Comelec through just in order to access the source code, issues like that. Your thoughts? People say we should not be subjected to Smartmatic again this time around.
Well, look, I think that's competitors who say that. You know, the fact is, yes, part of our technology is licensed from Dominion, but you tell me a large technology company which isn't using, in part, licenses from other companies, and we have a license for the international use of that particular piece of the technology that we employ. But, you know, we are a manufacturing and technology R&D company. We have hundreds of people who are doing R&D and hundreds more involved in manufacture. These are our systems. And, you know, the fact is, we we're proud of the way we've transformed election performance in the Philippines.
So, Mark, let me just to cut in there and ask you, the license issued by Dominion for you to use their proprietary software, that is a live license. It's an active license.
Yeah.
It has not been revoked.
No.
Okay.
No.
All right.
No, no. They had a nice relationship with Dominion. That's Smartmatic and Dominion. Him saying in 2015, the fact is, yes, a part of our technology is licensed from Dominion. These are the fierce competitors, keep in mind. And she even interrupts him there and says, let me just follow up on this license. Is that something that's still active? Oh, yes, yes, still is. Now, that was 2015. That was 2015. As to where we are now, well, you can look at some of the history that Sam is highlighting on the Dominion website. It says, in 2009, Smartmatic licensed Dominion machines for use in the Philippines. The contract ended in a lawsuit. So that ended the relationship. If you just look at the website, that's what they're suggesting. Then you have Lord Mark Malik Brown, who's during an interview in the Philippines in 2015, openly saying, of course, we've got a license agreement with it. We're working together hand in hand, the two of us. This is the guy with all the connections to George Soros, keep in mind. Now you add a wrinkle to this. I told you the other day. Well, actually, this was Sidney Powell who brought it up. She, remember at the conference, the press conference last Thursday, she brought this letter from Representative Maloney from New York. Okay, I think this was from 2006. This was a Democrat congresswoman who was very disturbed by these companies with all of these ties to international places like Venezuela. And she was calling upon the DOJ, she was calling upon the American government to break things up because these companies were getting too much power. These were whistleblowers in the Democrat Party. Now, another wrinkle, as I say, is what led to Smartmatic selling one of its subsidiaries, Sequoia, to Dominion. So these companies have just worked together because they're in the same field. And I mean, to some degree, I suppose there's competition. But you heard it from Mr. Malik Brown yourself. And then you saw what they put on their website. And then there's no executives that come out and explain themselves. You just have the one never-Trumper who gets up and says, oh, nothing. There is no votes that were switched here. Nothing inappropriate happened. All of the counters, well, I can't imagine them being in a prominent position like that and work to subvert the government. And then the Fox News reporter saying, there you have it, folks. Facts. There you have it. You've got the facts. This is from Carolyn Maloney's website. May 2006, Maloney first raised questions about Smartmatic with then-Treasury Secretary Snow requiring whether the deal for Sequoia had undergone a CFIUS investigation. Treasury acknowledged that it had initially contacted Smartmatic, although the CFIUS investigation was not underway at the time. In early October, Maloney wrote to the Treasury Secretary Paulson to apprise him of the lingering questions surrounding Smartmatic. In October of 2006, Smartmatic announced that it was undergoing a CFIUS investigation, and then December of that same year, they announced that they were withdrawing from the CFIUS review and selling Sequoia. That was one of its branches. And who did they sell it to? They sold it to Dominion. Now, listen, this is around the same time. This goes back to 2006. And you'll see, I believe Carolyn Maloney is in this particular segment on CNN. This was back when Lou Dobbs was on CNN. And listen to this report from 2006, clip 7.
The use of some 19,000 electronic voting machines in the city of Chicago and Cook County primary on March 21st of this year is now under intense scrutiny. The U.S. company that makes the machines, Sequoia, was bought in 2005 by Smartmatic, a private company primarily owned by Venezuelan businessmen. When Chicago had problems with the machines, a dozen Venezuelan employees were there to help with the election. Chicago officials are outraged.
I think that American elections ought to be run by American companies and ought to be run by American citizens, not Venezuelan nationals.
Smartmatic is technically based in Boca Raton, Florida, but the president of the company, Jack Blaine, testified to the Chicago City Council. Fewer than a dozen Smartmatic employees work in Florida. The majority of the workers are based in Venezuela. Watchdog groups question why U.S. voting machines would be under the control of citizens of another country, especially a country whose own election process is highly suspect.
We believe this is a national security issue. There is no way that companies belonging to non-U.S. corporations should have access to our elections.
The Treasury Department is supposed to monitor sales of U.S. companies to overseas investors where there is a question of national security, such as in the Dubai ports deal, the so-called CFIUS review process. Some in Congress are demanding an investigation.
In the case of Smartmatic, there are a number of unanswered questions. That's why I wrote to the Secretary of the Treasury and asked them to review the ownership. It's offshore, it's murky, no one seems to know who owns it. Certainly our government should know.
A potential risk to the democratic process.
It's offshore. It's murky. That's a Democrat congresswoman. I mean, don't take it from me. Take it from CNN. That's CNN. This is from Carolyn Maloney's press release in 2007. She said, Smartmatic, the voting machine firm with ties to the Venezuelan government, today announced that it was divesting ownership of the voting machine company Sequoia. Congresswoman Carolyn Maloney shined the congressional spotlight on the Sequoia purchase last year by Smartmatic because it posed a serious national security concern about the integrity of our elections. So Smartmatic went and bought this branch in 2005. Then they came under scrutiny, and then they offloaded it. They sold it. And they sold it to Dominion. Is that right, Sam? Yeah, they sold it to Dominion. And so here comes Dominion. You just heard the rep yesterday saying, no ties whatsoever. No ties whatsoever. Everything's above board here. We don't even know what Smartmatic's doing. I mean, we're a separate company, fierce competitors. And then the Fox reporter, well, there you go, facts. Sidney Powell has been debunked. Just go back into a little bit of history. You don't even have to go back that far as a reporter. And you even this year, before November 3rd of this year, you had reports from PBS, MSNBC. You had reports all over the mainstream news about just how vulnerable these systems are to hacking. And human nature being what it is, for someone to get on national TV yesterday and say, I just can't imagine anybody counting votes that would actually try to subvert democracy. And then the reporter just takes it, and we're supposed to say everything on November 3rd was perfect. It was perfect. It doesn't pass the smell test. We don't know all the connections. We don't know all of the cases where the fraud has been perpetuated. There's a lot more, I'm sure, that's going to be coming out in court. Let me take you to a Huffington Post piece. In 2010, this is 10 years ago, and it says, on the heels of Diebold Premier purchase, Canadian e-voting firm Dominion also acquires Sequoia, lies about Chavez ties in announcement. This is the Huffington Post. I'm giving you left-wing sources. Says here, intellectual property of voting systems still owned by firm linked to Venezuelan president despite press statement to the contrary. So this was a blogger that was calling them out, and Huffington Post said, sure, put your post on our website. He was saying Dominion's lying. Dominion's lying about its purchase of Sequoia, saying there's no connections to Venezuela. Those connections run deep. Says Canadian-based Dominion Voting Systems has quietly announced its second acquisition of a major U.S. voting machine company in as many months, and right out of the gate, they've lied about it. Not an auspicious beginning for the company, which may now virtually overnight have become the dominant private e-voting machine company in this country. This is from 2010. And keep in mind, they get a little bit of flack. They get a little bit of criticism. And they disappear. They've disappeared in the last 2 weeks. No executives are out there. You're not hearing from the CFO or the CEO. You hear from Michael Steele. You know, the guy that worked for Jeb Bush. You know, the one that worked for, who was the congressman that retired? John Boehner. All of these establishment Republicans. Well, if we just get a Republican out there speaking for our company, that's good enough. If Chris Christie and the rest of them get on board, hopefully we can apply pressure, he'll surrender, and none of this will be looked into. It's been looked into, a lot of it. It was looked into going back to 2006, and you heard it from Carolyn Maloney herself. Boy, it's murky. We don't even know really where it's connected to. It's just not right. What did my father say? God's allowed all of this to happen so that the fraud, the corruption, can be exposed. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. If you'd like to email the program, send comments to td@kpcg.fm. Thank you for joining us today, and we'll see you tomorrow.